Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته You are listening to IRIB English Radio and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear listeners, if you remember, we were talking about the love and affection towards our teenagers, especially. And we talked about how important this quality is and how important for us to guide our teenagers through this quality. Because, you know, if you pay love, you show your affection to your teenagers, no matter how rude they are, how far away they are from you, definitely this will close the gaps between you and your teenagers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So we all need, because nowadays the big challenge is that there's a big gap between parents and youth and teenagers, So love can just fill up that gap very easily. Therefore, in Farsi, we say, as muhabbat kharha gul mi shawad, means you can just turn out the thorns into flower by showing your love.
Love can turn the thorns into flowers.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful saying.
And it's true, the way we are discussing before too, that enemies can turn to the best friends. And here also you have said that all the gaps will filled by showing our love.
And
here
you are not confronting enemies, you know, not normal and ordinary people. You are confronting with your own part of your own soul, your own teenager, your own son and daughter.
Yeah, apple of your eyes.
Apple, yeah.
Exactly.
But we should not think very shortly, you know. If he or they asks few rude questions, we should not turn our doors off to them. We should keep our doors always open. Definitely within a couple of days or a couple of months, definitely it will work for you.
Yeah. And I usually say our teenagers, they are just like a guest in our house. So just take them as a guest, respect them, pay attention towards their needs and emotions.
You know how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would kiss and hug Hasanain alayhi salam.
Beautiful.
How much love he would show. You know, I remember once one person, when he witnessed that Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hugging and kissing Hasanain alayhi salam a lot, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I never have kissed my son, although I have 10 sons. But I have never hugged and kissed them." Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever does not show his love towards his progeny and son and daughters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never shows his love to that person."
Wow.
Yeah.
Look Irhamu.
Turhamu.
Turhamu, yeah.
Definitely, if you pay love, you show love.
Irham, turham. Yeah, irham turham. Like, if you show love towards others, Allah will show His love towards you.
Beautiful,
amazing.
Yeah, inshallah, after a short break, we will continue about this topic.
Ya Muqiyal Khayrat, Ya Muqiyal Khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will write a reward for he who kisses his child, and Allah will bring happiness on Judgment Day to he who makes his child happy.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So please, can you continue your...
Yeah, we are weak in expressions, you know. Like you said about the kissing, about touching, about giving space, about getting up for your children sometimes, showing that, yeah, we can see you are here, your presence. And you remember, we did mention before too that Prophet, he said, أَوْسِعُوا لِلشَّبَابِ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. Yeah, in gatherings, you should give a space to your children. And then he says, and teach them new technology, new things. فَإِنَّهُمْ الْخَلُوفُ وَأَهْلًا لِلْحَدِيثِ, because they are your representative and they are worthy for learning all this new stuff and new technology. So what kind of, like, again, these beautiful sayings of Prophet says that they have a special, you know, status in your life.
You show them you have love for them, you have respect for them, definitely this will keep a door open in their behavior. You know, when door is open, anytime they can come through that door. No matter how rude they are, no matter how disrespectful they are towards you, you have to keep your heart's door open.
Yeah, I love this ayah of Quran, which gives us so much hope. It says, "Falamma balagha ashuddahu atainahu hukman wa ilma." Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, our sixth imam, he says under this ayah that when he reaches to the age of maturity, means somehow 18, yeah?
Yeah, maturity, so, yeah, 16 to 18.
Yeah, 16 to 18. That time he will realize and he will reach to the level of wisdom and knowledge. So we can take this point from here that our teenagers, they are learning by their mistakes, yeah? Like the same way when your child is learning how to walk,
yeah,
and
definitely,
you allow your child to, you know, fall
sometimes
here and there.
He breaks, you know, your glasses,
exactly,
or your, you know, anything.
You know,
he
you
learns.
Know, because that is physical. You can see. Yeah. Therefore, you compromise.
You control yourself,
yeah,
and you do not become harsh.
Yeah. But here, in teen, everything is inner, like,
yeah,
in mind and in soul and
spiritual
heart.
Exactly. And, yeah.
The war and the battlefield and everything is unseen, you know. So for parents, it's very difficult to go inside their mind and to understand what kind of thoughts they have and how I can, you know, manage with them, cope with them. So therefore, they get impatient in so many areas, unfortunately. Yeah,
yeah, that's why our Imma, if you look at the hadith, you know, so many hadith and narrations they have regarding, you know, respecting and showing your love to your children. Because by showing your love, you get reward also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can close the gap. You can give a chance to your teenager,
exactly,
to come into the right path, which is very important. So we should not be very short-tempered. We should be very patient, especially regarding our teenager. Again, we will continue, inshallah, after a short break. So, dear listeners, please join us after a short break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners.
This is the hadith of Rasulullah. أَكْثِرُ مِنْ قُبْلَةِ أَوْلَادِكُمْ.
Definitely.
Like, you have to constantly, you know, frequently you have to kiss and show your love towards your awlad. Awlad means your children. It doesn't mean that only a baby one. No, even teenagers. So if you're kissing them, for example, 20 times a day, you know, that is not enough. You can do more. You can go more because the wordings are aksiru. So you can show by hugging, by kissing, by, you know, saying that you are, you know, my future. You are part of me. You know, I remember the letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam towards his son, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. And the way Imam Ali is talking to his son in the letter. And that is one of the way, beautiful way that, you know, it's not necessary always you have to talk to your parents. You can just write some notes.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So Imam is saying, because you are me and I am you, therefore I care about you. So that is the expression, yeah?
Yeah, because they are part of our soul and body both. They are our, you know, my own future and generation. So we should not think very short about them. We
mostly
should
keep our minds
always open. We should widen our thinks and thoughts about them. So let me say one more hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Man qabbala waladahu katab Allahu azza wa jalla lahu hasana." Whoever kisses his, you know, child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a hasana for him. "Wa man farrahahu farrahahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah." This is very important. Whoever makes his children happy, Allah will make him happy in the day of judgment.
Subhanallah.
This is such a big and enormous thawab and reward.
Yeah. So the happiness which we get hereafter, that is forever.
Forever, yeah.
And that happiness comes from Allah. And the happiness which we give here is so short and it's from us. You know, it's nothing. But look at how, you know, loving our God is, that He is rewarding us with eternity. So even keeping this reward in mind make us so humble towards our children. And we start loving them sincerely, you know, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
And if we look at the Hazrat Nuh, you know, how he was very, you know, passionate about his son. In the last moment also, Hazrat Nuh wanted to bring his son. You know, he wanted to save his son.
It's a very good point. Yeah. I never heard it in
how
this way.
How much time he
spent to
guide him.
Yeah.
But he did not become, you know,
tired and hopeless.
Hopeless.
Yeah. He never said, I know his past.
Yeah.
You know, I know maybe because of his friends or his mother, he was a bit astray from the path of from the right path. But he never said that, I know this person is not going to change.
He never lost his hope. You know,
wow.
He was
so many
hundred years. He constantly keep calling him, Oh my son,
beautiful.
Come towards the right path,
beautiful.
The path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Beautiful.
Never disappointed.
Mashallah.
Although he was, you know, his son was very rude towards him.
And this rudeness doesn't come within one day or two days, you know. It has a big, big history. But still, the hope is there. May Allah give us, you know, as a parents of 2022 and all these, you know, era. That,
a small
inshallah,
glimpse
of
that hope
our prophets
of
and
Prophet
Aim alayhi salam. Exactly.
Inshallah. I hope our dear listeners also enjoyed this beautiful discussion, especially the ahadith we discussed during this episode. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable material, such as oil paint, to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns, including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the U.S. 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 stones in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as sea shells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species, but we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs. Retired racehorses could be retrained for a new role as so-called therapy horses. According to a study led by the University of Bristol, veterans and disabled children, as well as those struggling with mental health issues, can benefit from the therapy horses. The 3-year study aims to provide a global standard for the racing industry and a toolkit for retraining racehorses. A racehorse's career can last anywhere between 2 and 10 years, but better could be done to make use of these beautiful creatures soon after they're retired.
So racehorses, when they finish their racing careers, and they can finish as young as sort of 3 or 4 years old, they really don't want to be just standing around in fields for the next 20, 30 years. And they're so versatile that there's, I really believe there's a job for 99% of them. I think there's almost a sixth sense with the horse. So with people needing therapy, whether that's mental health or physical disabilities, there seems to be sort of something that gels between a horse and a human.
Horse trainers say with the thoroughbred's lifespan between 25 to 30 years, this study's aim is crucial for their long-term welfare. Over 7,000 racehorses end their career every year in Britain, with many going into eventing and pleasure riding. A killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
To some people, it is just garbage, but to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. This seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates the large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings, but nowadays they're no longer used for heavy duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they are no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that, so they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us, we give them food, so now they have a homely life. Hopefully life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this.
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the seven-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we're on an underground lake and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere. And really, the atmosphere is great because we're in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we're going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats. Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lapsayer, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we won't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Our question today, dear Sheikh, is a compared to recent questions, a very important one, because it deals also in an indirect way with our beliefs. Mm-hmm. It deals with who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the question, it is as follows. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he punishes finite and limited beings and creatures such as ourselves with infinite and everlasting punishment? Is this comparable with Allah being described as just?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think this question is referring to the fact that, the number of our sins is limited. So we have, committed a couple of sins at the end of the day. But so the punishment might be 60 years of committing sins.
Right. But it is logically perhaps vastly out of proportion.
Exactly. So why we have everlasting punishment? A very important question and in need of referring to a couple of points. The first point is that sometimes it is raised by people who want to reject the religion of Islam. And maybe one question that may be asked is that why you do not say the same thing about good actions and paradise? For the good actions, we also do it like in 60 years.
Same concept.
And then the reward is everlasting. So at least you may ponder over the fact that for paradise, which is a kind of manifestation of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the same. We have done good actions for a couple of years, but then the reward is everlasting. Yeah.
Right.
Of course, we do believe that that punishment is also a part of the manifestation of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
The second point is that in the most cases, the punishments are for, a short time or a long time, but they are not everlasting. Right. The concept of khulud, eternity in hellfire, is only for very few.
Select few.
Yes.
It's actually very difficult to get khulud.
Exactly.
It's like an achievement, perhaps.
Exactly. And they are very few in number. So we shouldn't think that whoever goes to the hellfire will be there for eternity, for good. No. Those people who go to paradise, they will be there forever.
Right.
But as for the people who go to the hellfire, according to the verses and narrations, the majority of them, they will be purified after being punished for sometimes. It is different from one person to another based on their actions.
Additionally to what you were saying, Sheikh, infinity is a huge number we cannot understand. So even if you are, perhaps we say 100, 1,000 years in the hellfire, that is still going to be nothing in proportion to infinity.
That's the point, yeah. Now the main question is that, okay, but at the end of the day, there are some people who will be in the hellfire
forever.
Forever.
Right.
But our actions are limited in number. So is it fair? Is it based, I mean, in line with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Right.
Now, the point is that, first of all, we have some verses in the Quran talking about khulud. There is no doubt about that. Khulud in paradise has no objection. And, I mean, no one arguing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right. Seems Allah, you are too kind.
Yeah.
This isn't how it should be.
So it's very crystal clear that those people, the khulud, the eternity in the paradise is a mercy, and no one is objecting and arguing against that.
Right.
But when it comes to khulud, eternity in the hellfire, again, we have verses about that in the Noble Book of Quran and, of course, in the narrations. I will share some of them. But does it mean that all Muslim scholars believe in eternity in the hellfire?
There's a difference of opinion.
Yeah, may be surprised that when it is mentioned in the Quran, is there any difference of idea? The answer is that yes, we have some Muslim scholars who disagree with that. I mean, they are not against the verses of the Quran. They have another explanation. I don't want to say that I agree with them. No. I mean, in most of the cases, I do not agree with them. But I would like to mention their viewpoints.
Just for information sharing.
Exactly.
Right.
So when it comes especially to Islamic mysticism, the great Islamic mystics, and some of them we may call it Sufi, they believe that they have a special opinion regarding khulud and eternity. For example, the famous Ibn al-Arabi, who is one of the pioneers in Islamic mysticism, they do not claim, I mean, he and others, they do not claim that they will not be in the hellfire forever. No, they say that they are in the hellfire forever, but after some times of being punished, they do not suffer the punishments anymore. They enjoy being in the hellfire.
That is a very interesting viewpoint.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that they are enjoying that like the people of the paradise, but somehow they are getting used to those punishments. It's a kind of daily activity that we are getting used to that.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is my terminology, of course.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. So he said that after some time, when they are punished based on their actions, still they are not going to go out of the hellfire, but they remain there. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will embrace them in that they do not suffer from the fire anymore. So, or for example, Abdul Razak Kashi, another famous mystic, he says that after a long time, the people of the fire, they become intimate and friends to the fire itself. As if they cannot be separated from the fire, meaning that they enjoy being in the hellfire. They do not suffer from that. So this is one viewpoint. I do not agree with that.
It is not the mainstream viewpoint, by the way.
At all. Not at all.
Like, it's a very small part.
Exactly.
Right.
So, there is a group of Muslim mystics who believe that eternity is there, but suffering is not there for eternity.
And they are the Sufi Muslims, right?
Yeah.
Also the same ones who do not pray, but prefer to dance in circles, right?
Not necessarily all of them. We have some of them who also do believe in Sharia, Islamic laws as well, but they may, believe in this viewpoint.
Right.
Now, let me share with you a couple of verses from the Quran, because some of them will help us in, following the discussion. For the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ The believers who do righteous actions, they will be in Jannah, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ They will be there forever. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ The disbelievers who reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be in the fire and they will be there forever.
Very explicit.
وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَازَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا The one who kills a believer, without any reason, without any justified reason, then his punishment is the hellfire. He will be there forever. And one last verse which is interesting. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ wicked people will be in hellfire, suffering from the punishment. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَعْدَامَةِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ They will be there forever, as long as the heavens and the earth are there. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ There is an exception here. Except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wills otherwise. Now, These are just some verses. I will come to some of these verses later. When it comes to the narrations, we have the same notion. For example, in one narration, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying that adultery has, five negative results. And one of them is that وَيُخَلَّدُ فِي النَّارِ The one who commits that will be in the hellfire forever. This is in Wasail al-Shia, volume 14, page 232. And another narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which is one of the explanations which is given by Muslim theologians for eternity. So now the question is that we have committed a number of bad actions, but why eternity? And maybe the same, we have done,
a finite amount of good actions.
And why eternity? In one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam answered that, and this is one of the typical answers given to this question. He says that إِنَّمَا خُلِّدَ أَهْلُ النَّارِ فِي النَّارِ The people of the hellfire will be in the fire forever. Why? لِأَنَّ نِيَّاتَهُمْ كَانَتْ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَلَّا بَغَوْ فِيهَا أَلَّا يُتِعُ اللَّهَ أَبَدًا Because although they lived for 80 years, and for the whole life they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if they, remain in the earth for many, many, many years more, their intention was that we will continue the same. We will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And it's the intention that is important.
That is important. So as if they live on the earth for eternity, they would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
They wouldn't act differently.
They wouldn't, So this is the reason. And this is one of the explanations
for Of course, Allah, He's all-knowing. He knows if He did put them and gave them eternal life, they would never obey him.
And that is why we believe that eternity in the hellfire is only for, the minority of the people. Because
a very, very minority.
People, we call it anud, which means that they know the reality, but they do not follow the reality.
Stubborn.
Stubborn.
Even more than stubborn people.
Yeah, people like Abu Jahl. He knows that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family is with the truth. He knows that he's a prophet. But if he lives with the Prophet for 2,000 years, he's not going to change. He will disobey him.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons given for eternity. If these people, remain on the earth for many more years, they will not change. And the same is true about the people of paradise. إِنَّمَا خُلِّدَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ The people of paradise will be in paradise forever. لَأَنَّ نِيَّاتَهُمْ كَانَتْ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَلَّوْ بَقُوا فِيهَا أَيُّتِعُ اللَّهَ أَبَدًا The righteous people, whether they live for 40 years or 100 years, doesn't make any difference. they will not change in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the reasons given for eternity, but there are some other explanations.
And we will take those explanations in the next session because we are unfortunately out of time. Dear Sheikh, I thank you for joining us today and for sharing your knowledge with us. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. I hope that we all reaped some benefit from this. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وعادا وثمود وأصحاب الرس وقرونا بين ذلك كثيرا
And we destroyed Ad and Thamud and the companions of the well and many generations between them.
وكلا ضربنا له الأمثال وكلا تبرنا تتبيرا
And for each we presented examples as warnings, and each we destroyed with total destruction.
As you have been previously with us, brothers and sisters, we were discussing the 38th and 39th verses of the chapter. وَعَادًا وَثَمُودَ وَأَصْحَابَ الرَّسِّ وَقُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا And the tribes of Ad and Thamud, and the men of Ar-Ras, and many generations between them. وَكُلًّا ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ And unto each of them we did give examples. وَكُلًّا تَبَّرْنَا تَتْبِيرًا And every one of them we did destroy with utter extermination. Previously, we said that this section of this chapter Furqan is talking to what happens to the disbeliever people in the previous nations. It started with the story of Prophet Moses, his brother Aaron, that were supposed to go to Pharaoh. Then the story of Prophet Noah was mentioned, that the Almighty Allah had made them a sign for all mankind, because they had rejected the messengers. And now the story of Ad, Thamud, and Ashab al-Ras is being discussed. Although the verse does not suggest the detailed story of what happened to each of these people. But in the 39th verse, it says, وَكُلًّا ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ Unto each of them we did give examples. So it has been the tradition and sunnah of the Almighty Allah to send the prophets for the guidance of the people. And it has been the Almighty Allah's sunnah to destroy the ones who used to deny these prophets and the signs of the Almighty Allah. كَذَّبُوا الرُّسُلْ فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ They denied the messengers, so we drowned them. And then وَعَادًا وَثَمُودَ
الإيمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran
by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So the people of Ad and people of Thamud were also destroyed because they used to deny their messengers. And then it says, وَكُلًّا ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. The Almighty Allah has made and given example for all the people throughout the history of universe. Unto each of them we did give examples. وَكُلًّا تَبَّرْنَا تَتْبِيرًا. And every one of them we did destroy with utter extermination. So at first we gave them warning, we gave them examples, we told them to think about what happened to the previous people before them, who used to deny them messengers. And when they did not pay attention, when they did not take lessons from that, we destroyed them, because they also rejected the messengers. So this verse is implying that the Almighty Allah did not punish these people astonishingly. It says, كُلَّنْ ضَرَبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. The Almighty Allah says, unto each of them we did give examples. It means that Almighty Allah answered the pretext of these wrongdoers, disbelievers. He answered their criticism, as was done about the criticisms upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah made divine ordinances clear for them. Allah explained the truths of religion. Allah warned them, and He retold them the stories and destiny of the former nations, and more importantly, why these people, the previous nations, were destroyed. Why were they subjected to the wrath of the Almighty Allah, and they were doomed to utter extermination? But when none of these was effective, the status was, as the verse says, وَكُلًّا تَبَّرْنَا تَتْبِيرًا. And every one of them we did destroy with utter extermination. We told you that the word tatbir means to lose dignity and respect and to get overthrown in a way that will lead to utter destruction and humiliation. So yes, the divine way of treatment is to send messengers for guiding people and then to destroy their rejectors. And this is what has happened to the previous nations who did not listen to their own prophets and messengers. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be
saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry ends when faith begins.